just time just keeps flying, and it's March. It's the first day of March. And I mean, okay, Hooligans, bear with me. For the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, we've done our March Madness Bracket Challenge through CBS Sports. We used to be, or we still are, an affiliate of CBS here at KFKA. We carry some of their sports programming over the weekend. But they're not, like, the brackets are not open yet, and they say they're still working on it. So we if you haven't got an email from us yet, it's because of that. So we're experimenting with ESPN today, and that's been a weird thing. So just hang in. Because, I mean, Colfax, last thing Colfax and I want to do is hand fill out brackets.
No, thank you.
I think we would just not do it at that point. Just like, no, I trust you. I trust you. But we are going to keep registering people because we will make it happen. There will be an outlet. I mean, dude, Eaton Country Club, Eaton Golf Course, they're going to do a foursome giveaway, free golf for you to start the year off right coming up. I mean, you could probably go, you can use it whenever, even if it's cold. We're getting a CRP 4x4. We're waiting on their information, but I've heard maybe even a TV of some sort. We'll see. A lot of great sponsors jumping in on this, and we're excited about it. So it's a gift package we're working on, and we do this every single year. And I think, Colfax, that I think I finished in the top five 2 years ago. I want to say that I got like third or something in this thing.
You were up there.
But I can't access it, so there's no way to prove it.
You were up there. I mean, I won 3 years ago. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah, we didn't record it, though.
I mean, I remember it.
But it wasn't like we didn't do a challenge or anything.
Won the whole thing, though.
You did win the whole thing?
I did win the whole
thing. That's right. You did your very first year, I think, producing. Yeah. And I was like, well, I mean, you know. Then, we didn't do the Brady Colfax challenge.
Yeah,
and
there was no bet on it.
We did it the year after.
And then I lost. I think I was way down at the bottom.
But you won the whole thing, though. That's bigger than.
Yeah, see, so like evens out.
It does. It does even out.
Averages.
Who won like that year? Because I was knocked out early pretty much because I took. Was that the year I took Baylor to do some big things and they lost in the first round? And that really screwed me over. I can't remember. Yeah. It was a fun time, though. It was good. So we're going to be registering people for that today. I'm going to try to get five in today. So those of you that have registered, you probably got an email from ESPN today. I guess ignore it for now, and we'll kind of keep you guys posted. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. And I asked this last year. It's worth asking again. Is Nikola Jokic already the greatest Denver Nugget of all time? Yes, no, or he's in the top five. Now, if you're going to go purely off of stats and history, then you're going to say no. You're going to go Alex English. Like, Alex English has all the numbers. He has all the records. I mean, he owns the biggest records, I should say. You know, not rebounds. You have Dan Issel with rebounds. Joker's right behind him. You have Alex English in assists. Alex English in points. All the important. Those are the most important. I mean, percentages and all that, you can't really. Like, I don't want to look at percentages right now because Joker's only not even halfway through his career, assuming he stays healthy and wants to stick around for a long time. He is number one in triple-doubles, though, and nobody else other than Fat Lever, nobody else is even close. This record for Joker Nuggets is going to be untouchable. He has 49 triple-doubles already. He's played for, this is his sixth season? Fat Lever had 43. Next in line was Dikembe Mutombo with 8. Alex English had 5. So that is that number right there. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Look at how far, because, English wasn't rebounding and Carmelo Anthony wasn't getting assists. So the Alex English is 4th overall in rebounds. So I guess to say that he just didn't do it very often. Triple doubles, man. I don't even know if did they record those as much back then? Because it does seem like an obscure stat, doesn't it? Well, no, Fat Lever. I mean, he was in that time. I mean, 43. Melo, according to this, again, this is basketballreference.com, pretty damn reliable. Melo only had 1. But again, he's not getting assists. So that number to me is up there. That's a big one. Points, yeah, Joker has some work to do. He's 8th on the all-time points list. Behind Fat Lever, then there's Byron Beck, Ralph Simpson, David Thompson, Carmelo Anthony, Dan Issel, Alex English with 21,645 points. Joker is sitting at just over 7,300 points. You got Alex English played how many games? About 800. He played 837 games. Joker has played 414 right now. So if you double up right now, you double up Joker's games to get him close to that 800 mark, he's, you know, and if he keeps this average of points, which again, his point totals have grown every single year, he would be on pace to, according to where he is right now, he'd be on pace to hit like 14,000. But I mean, his points have gone up every single year. He's averaging more and more and more. So to be fair, you kind of got to look at the trajectory he's on right now at this stage, and probably going to play for a while. I mean, this is his what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is his sixth season. So I would imagine he's going to have a pretty long career ahead of him. And our guy Harrison Wind, new Nuggets insider for us from DNVR Nuggets, said Joker's going to be in it for the long haul here. He really believes that. So if that's the case, I guess the question is, though, is he right now? Is Nikola Jokic the greatest Denver Nugget of all time? And yes, you can go stats. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. And again, I know the eras of basketball, but have the Nuggets ever had a guy like in the campaign for MVP at this stage? Like so high? I mean, Melo, I'm sure it came up, and I'm sure Alex English came up, but make no mistake about it, Nikola Jokic is deep in the campaign for MVP. So now I know English has all the stats and all that, but how much do you give credit for an MVP caliber year? Now, again, Joker hasn't won anything. Denver has a lot of work to do to help make his case. You know, they need to get in that top five, top four even, as far as playoffs go. That's why games like tonight are big. But yeah, there's work to do, but it's to me, I mean, have you ever had a player that does it all like this? Joker, see, Alex English owns all the stats, but it's important to note, Joker does it all. Like, English was a better defensive player, okay? We'll give you that. But Joker doesn't always need to score a lot of points. He's, as we see, you know, he's going to get assists. He's going to get rebounds. He does it all for his team. Now, English was good. It was great. But did he do everything? I mean, if he did, he'd be leading in every category. Because Joker is going to be leading in every category. If he retires a Nugget, he will be the leader in damn near every category here. Maybe not like three-point field goals, three-point percentage. But you have like English is on the offensive rebounds. You know, he owns that record, but overall rebounds is Dan Issel. You know, Alex English is sitting at number one in assists. So, I mean, he did get boards, offensive boards, for sure. But you got to go, all right, well, and I mean, he it's kind of crazy to me that English was number one in offensive boards. But overall, in defensive rebounds, it's Dan Issel, Byron Beck, Dikembe Mutombo. And then it's Alex English. Well, keep in mind, Colfax, to crack the top five in stats and record books for Denver, do you have to be a Hall of Famer for Denver? We're talking not that rich of a history. Dikembe played, what, 5 years, and he's third in rebounds. So you got to take some of these stats with a grain of salt. English owns all the records, but who else was he competing with? I mean, I know that sounds harsh, Nuggets fans, and you're mad at that. But Melo didn't play nearly as long. How long did Alex English actually play for Denver? I mean, he didn't start his career for Denver. I mean, all those numbers were accrued with Denver, though. That's what we're talking about. He played for, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, about 11, 12 years. Melo played with Denver for 7. So, I mean, almost double. You know, English had way more seasons with Denver to acquire the stats. So again, Alex English, by rights, is the guy in that conversation because Melo did play 7 years for Denver and then went on to do other things and get big numbers with the Knicks and such. But when you say, well, English owns all the records, yeah, he does. 12 years. Joker right now, I mean, who's the greatest Nugget right now? Alex English, Nikola Jokic, if you could draft right now and you're in their prime, who are you taking? Alex English or Nikola Jokic? Because I'm taking Nikola Jokic right now, folks. And doesn't that answer the question? Is Nikola Jokic the greatest Nugget of all time right now? And to okay, Brady, come on, you could take him now, but in their prime. They're both in their prime. Who are you taking? And if the answer is Nikola Jokic, he's the greatest. Stats are not everything. Plus, Nikola hasn't been in the league long enough. Dude, I'm telling you, there's nobody in the NBA that I would trade Nikola Jokic for. I know, that sounds crazy. A year ago, might have said different, but I would not trade Nikola Jokic for, and at this stage in their career, like, if you want to say LeBron James in his prime, although he's playing like he's in his prime, those are different discussions. But right now, I believe Nikola Jokic is the best player in basketball. I'm probably a little biased. I watch a lot more Joker games than I do anybody else, a lot more Nuggets games than I do anybody else. But I think it's a worthwhile poll question. It's fun. McLean says, Jokic is not yet the best Nugget of all time. Alex English had eight All-Star appearances, and Jokic has had, what, three? Yeah, three. But three out of six. Halfway through his career, half of his career has now been he's going to be an All-Star. So, and again, I ask, you know, the question as far as English and Joker. I mean, there's not a huge crowd of Nuggets that are going to be in this discussion. He's definitely top five. We put that in there. And if you don't believe that, you're crazy. Is Nikola Jokic already the greatest Denver Nugget of all time? No, 47% of the hooligans have voted. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. 31% of the hooligans saying yes. And 21 say, hey, no, but he's a top five guy. We'll go there with you. He's on his way, but we are comparing apples to oranges when it comes to position and era. Yeah, but you got to do it. You got to do it because at some point, McLean, on your deathbed, someone is going to come up to you and say, who's the greatest Nugget of all time? You're not going to have enough time to say, for some reason, that's the discussion you're having on your deathbed. You're not going to have enough time to say, well, you know, the era. No, you got to go. Who is it? Who's the greatest Nugget of all time? And is it already somebody that's playing? Like, if Joker gets hurt today, knock on wood, you know, I hate to say it, and he's never able to be the same guy or even play again, would he go down as the greatest Nugget of all time? I mean, career-wise, he hasn't achieved as much as English. But damn near team-wise, I mean, English and those Denver Nuggets went to a lot of playoffs. So if you wanted to say that, yeah, sure. I mean, you can use that argument right now, but also use the argument of who would you take in their prime. You get to pick. I want Alex, like right now for the Nuggets, in their prime, Alex English or Nikola Jokic. Today it's English. When it's all said and done, it should be Joker. But I also look at the fact that, I mean, Joker spends a lot of his time. Now, I know English is there and assists. Joker spends a lot of his time just trying to make his team better. And obviously, English holds that. But, dude, Nikola Jokic is going to pass that record up. So he's fifth all-time in assists already. I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? Don't you give any, like, I know English owns it, but Joker is passing all of these Michael Adams, Dan Issel. He's passing all of these greats every single year. And he's only been playing, I mean, he's not even done with his sixth year yet. So Alex English has 36,000, almost, let's just say 37,000, let's round up, 3,700 assists. Fat Lever's at 35, Andre Miller's at 29, Ty Lawson's 27, Joker's at 23. He'll pass Ty Lawson and Miller probably after next season. So he'll probably jump into number three. Once that year ends. As far as total rebounds, he's going to pass. He's number seven right now. He'll pass Marcus Camby up, a great defensive player for Denver's in Denver's history. He'll pass Camby up this year and move up to six. You got Julius Key and then Alex English. He'll pass Alex English up probably next year. I mean, if you let's just quick math. If he's averaging, let's just say he's averaging nine boards. 738. Yeah, he'd pass Alex English up in boards next year if he keeps on this trajectory. He'll pass up Marcus Camby this year, and then he'll go two more guys. He'll pass up Dikembe Mutombo in 2 to 3 years, then Byron Beck. He'll pass Dan Issel in 4 years. again, assuming everything goes right, and that's in total rebounds. So no, he doesn't own those records. He's not there yet. But I'm there with Joker. I say Joker. Flying Dutchman says Joker, no question. Hey, Flying Dutchman and I agree on something. Pete, damn, that's a big take. Best all-around guy right now in the NBA, but top five currently is arguable. I would say if he was a free agent, the Lakers would want him immediately, or the Mavs, and they would walk away with the championship. I mean, that's the other thing, too. Put the Joker on any of these teams, like any of these teams that are right there on the cusp. I mean, I seriously think if he's with the Mavericks, this team's winning a title this year. Joker, right now the Nuggets have Murray. And again, I got to say this. There was a great article in the Denver Post this morning by Michael Singer. Because Murray kind of called out the defense, saying, hey, we just don't have that guy in there. Well, in fairness, Tim Conley, before all of us are so quick, including myself, are so quick to say, we got to trade, we haven't had a chance to Paul Millsap's hardly playing. Gary Harris is hardly playing. Jamichael Green, who was supposed to be the guy to make up for Jeremy Grant, is hardly playing. I know that's an excuse, and all the other teams have to go through it, but it is what it is. These are guys on your roster. Jamichael Green should be a valuable player on this roster. That's crazy. I think it's a fun question. I mean, I know that odds are people are going to say English, because if you look up every stat, but I mean, if I'm drafting today, in their prime, I'm taking Nikola Jokic. And that, to me, says that he's the GOAT in terms of Denver Nuggets history. And in fairness, no, I didn't grow up watching Alex. My whole family did, dude. My brother had an Alex English jersey and was a big diehard. My dad, my brother, they were diehard Alex English guys. So, I mean, I grew up hearing, oh, we're never going to have a player like that. We're never, ever going to have. And even when Melo came in, it's like, eh. Although my dad kind of came around later. He's like, oh, I don't know. Melo was just such a ridiculous scorer, you know. But he wasn't overall the guy that English was and the defensive player and all that. But I do think that Joker makes everybody better. And these are the hidden stats, Colfax, are the passes to set up the pass for the shot. You know, like the hockey assist, you know, the double assist. I do think that those are other things that go unlooked, unnoticed. His ability to move the guys around. He is a center that can play point guard too. He brings the ball up and down the floor. Very versatile player. 23 minutes after the hour. Colfax, when we come right back, we'll get to our good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was. Some great news, some bad news, and some really confusing news that I'm just going to make ugly. And I'll get your take on this, because I've gone back and forth with this all day, pertaining to the Mountain West Conference. 23 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
We have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
After the hour, welcome back. We'll get Zach Stevens on from DNVR Broncos in just a moment. Talk about Philip Lindsay, Tim Patrick, Shelby Harris, a couple of other names outside of Justin Simmons. Will they be Broncos? We'll get to his thoughts there. Any movement on the Deshaun Watson situation? I don't have my big story of the day yet, Colfax, but J.J. Watt's going to Arizona. I'll get into details on that. So he decided, yeah, go to Arizona. Cleveland, I thought they were going to land him, but there you go, J.J. Watt. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was. The good here, after a terrible loss to Washington, especially the way it went down, nobody goes to the basket. We're all upset by it. Denver comes out against the Thunder on the road, and I know the Thunder, they're not a great team, but you got to destroy a not a great team. 126-96.
Jokic sees a crease and scores. Thunder now 1 out of 9 from 3. And Porter Jr. has himself another tray. And the floater there by Jamal Murray is good. 3:04 left to go in the third. Jokic gets it right back and lines up that three. Jamal Murray playing these fourth quarter minutes here. Might be a little surprise as Denver's lead is at 31 as R.J. Hampton just elevated up to the rim as the Denver Nuggets a wire-to-wire win here.
Well, all right, Nuggets take care of it against the Thunder. There you heard it. Joker with another triple-double. Got his 49th. 19 points, 13 assists, 11 rebounds. Monster performance. Michael Porter Jr. with 20. Jamal Murray with 26. This was the feel-good game you needed after the way that last one ended. Here's the bad. You really needed San Diego State to split with Boise State. You really did. Boise State forced overtime in Game 1, and they came so close in Game 2.
And now he steals it away from Alston. Can he go downhill? Goes to Johnson, who will go down and then up and bring it home. Mensah finds Pulliam, leads it back to Mensah, able to catch and get it over the top of Armouche. Pulliam to Mitchell. High low from Mensah. The catch and the finish is there.
All right, so I'm going to outline this, but that was bad because, listen, the Rams can still win the regular season title. They have to win out, and now San Diego State, they're one game remaining. It's on the road against UNLV, but if San Diego State wins that game, it's theirs. And I'm going to outline all of that because a lot of the Hooligans, a lot of the Rams fans are freaking out because, well, they're both sitting at three conference losses, and the Rams actually should get over the amount of conference wins with their games this week. Air Force tonight, New Mexico Wednesday, and then Nevada Friday. If they win all three of those, that would put them at 15-3. San Diego State, the best they could do, 14-3. Not so fast. The New Mexico games were not COVID-related. They were forfeits. Forfeit still Cavs win. All right, final story of the day. The ugly is that Mountain West side of it. Now, the ugly is because of what it means for the Rams. Does it mean it's wrong? I mean, Colfax, if a team you're set to play against forfeits the game, what does that mean? Should it go down on the records as a win for your team? You can't punish that other team. If you're going to forfeit and say, no, we don't feel like we got the guys, COVID has depleted us, whatever, it wasn't COVID related, should that other team be punished and just pretend it never happened? If it's COVID and they're not, although here's my deal with that, and again, COVID you can't really prevent, but it's like, man, if you're not able to play a game, should it just go down as a win and a loss on the other side? On both? Because this was New Mexico just up and deciding. I know there were rumors like, is New Mexico just going to forfeit the entire year? But that's weird. It's still weird. But yes, remember the CSU-Utah State situation on football when they just decided because there was stuff going on, they just didn't want to play that last game? Well, CSU did get that win. They were rewarded that win in football. So you can't be cool with it for football if you're not cool with it for basketball. It still sucks. CSU still has a chance. But they got to win three games. San Diego State has to lose to UNLV. Now, that doesn't mean the Rams still don't get into March Madness. They probably need to go a couple of ways. They probably need to go 2-1 in these next three and then win two games in the tournament. First round, second, whatever round. Win two games. Or if they go 3-0, meaning they beat Nevada, quad two team on Friday, then maybe they just have to win one. And that's kind of the scenarios that the movers and shakers are putting out there for the Rams. So very doable here, at least to get in. And that's what it's all about. All right, 32 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we'll talk Broncos. I got Zach Stevens coming up from DNVR Broncos. Always good to catch up with him. Any movement on the Deshaun Watson story? Von Miller, Justin Simmons. Where are we on this first day of March? We'll get to it. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. With me now is our Broncos insider, Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my friend, I love getting you on every Monday because even though we're in this weird off season, it's absolutely entertaining to talk about, to dream about what this Denver Broncos team's ultimately going to look like. There is a lot of things still to be sorted out, especially this month as we hit March 1st. Man, there's a lot of things heating up.
Yeah, let's go time in 2 weeks, Brady. The unofficial start of free agency starts 2 weeks from today, pretty much to the minute right now. And then, of course, March 17th, which is that Wednesday, is when teams can officially sign players. And just with the way that the NFL has kind of moved to these things in the past couple of years, we're even getting news today coming out in the NFL, which does affect the Broncos. Of course, J.J. Watt with that huge contract going to the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that. Yes, it's an interesting move. It's a big move in the NFL. But like you just said, that is a big impactor for the Broncos situation and Von Miller's situation.
Yeah, it absolutely is. J.J. Watt, a guy who, you know, very similar kind of career path as Von Miller, although he does have more accolades than Von Miller, but he does not have that Super Bowl 50 MVP that Von has. But J.J. Watt, an aging player, you've kind of seen it in his game the past couple of years. In the past 2 years, J.J. Watt has 9 total sacks. Brady, Von Miller in the past 2 years has 8.5 sacks. So, I mean, we're talking about a very similar type of impact player. And, of course, Von missed all of last season, but he only had 8.5 sacks that year before in 2019. And what type of deal was J.J. Watt going to get? He pretty much, it seemed like he could choose the team he wanted to go to. Maybe he was going to have to take a pretty big pay cut if he went to a true contender this year. But instead, he went out and he got paid. And, man, I mean, the Cardinals are going to be a very, very interesting team this year. But how it affects the Broncos is, okay, a lot of people now believe that $15.5 million that J.J. Watt just got, 2 years, $31 million, is kind of what the floor for Von Miller this year in the Broncos trying to potentially renegotiate a deal with him. And, Brady, in my mind, I thought that the Broncos were going to try to get Von to take pretty much a 50% pay cut. He was scheduled to make $18 million this year. I thought they were going to want to put him right around $10, $11 million. This would say that that's not going to happen. So would a $3 million discount be enough for the Broncos to keep Von Miller around? Personally, I don't think so. I think they're looking for a bigger pay cut than that.
If this was John Elway's decision still, do you think that there'd be a better chance that Denver would go with a $15.5 million type deal, $1 million type deal for Vaughn?
Yep, absolutely. I think that with John Elway, we have seen, even though there was Cropgate a couple of years ago in those contract negotiations, we've seen John Elway stick by Von Miller no matter what. I mean, they had a contract option in his contract last year too, and the day after the season ended, John Elway said, nope, we're picking it up, and completely just kiboshed any ideas of the Broncos moving on from Von last year. Now with Peyton, there's no emotion attached. Von Miller was John Elway's first draft pick, number 2 overall, helped him deliver the Super Bowl 50, was the biggest reason for that as the MVP award would show. George Peyton has no emotional attachment with that. So I think that George isn't going to go to the extent that Elway was.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. And Zach, as we approach free agency here, how aggressive are the Broncos going to be? Obviously, we know they have to take care of their own situations first with guys like Justin Simmons, and we'll see what happens with Philip Lindsay, as we just talked about with Vaughn, Shelby Harris, a lot of names. But how aggressive do you see them getting outside of their own camp, knowing that there's still this maybe possibility of trading the farm away to get Deshaun Watson, because you want to be careful. You don't want to get too many contracts in here, and then maybe the trade could happen, and now you're in trouble.
Yeah, and that's what's so tough about this Deshaun Watson scenario. Or if Russell Wilson becomes available, one of those guys, it really makes you, okay, do you plan for that potentially opening up? Do you move on from that and try to move things in the future? But, Brady, I see this Broncos free agency really being about keeping their own guys. They have $45 million in cap space right now after moving on from Jarrell Casey last week, which puts them in the top 5 teams for having the most cap space entering free agency. But when you look at it, if they pay Justin Simmons $15 million a year, if they pay Shelby Harris around $10 million a year, boom, Now 25 of your $45 million is gone. You got to save about $10 million for the draft class, so there's $35 million. And then you can use that $10 million to, you know, put a tender, a second-round tender on Tim Patrick, a second-round tender on Philip Lindsay. And then there you go. There's your team, and we haven't even talked about signing any other free agents. Now, if you move on from Von Miller, you free up $18 million in cap space. That's the money that you would use in free agency to go get maybe one big name, a $15 million player, or you can go out and get a couple $5, $10 million players there. So this free agency, while the Broncos do have a lot of money, I expect it to be spent internally.
Zach, so obviously number one priority is Justin Simmons, right?
Yep.
Get him taken care of. That's number one. What's the number two? Is it getting a guy like Shelby Harris locked up? Getting Von Miller dealt with one way or the other? What's the second priority for the Broncos?
I really think that second priority is Shelby Harris. After moving on from Jarrell Casey last week, you have one true defensive end on your roster, and that's Draymond Jones. And you feel very comfortable in Draymond Jones. It seems like he is very much going to be a starter for your team. But then you have Mike Purcell. It's the nose tackle who's coming off a pretty significant injury, especially for a guy who's 30 years old right now. That's something that you can't overlook. The Broncos are going to count on him with the contract they gave him last year. They're counting on him to be a starter, but you kind of have to have another option there. They do like McTelvin Ajim there, who was a rookie last year, but you got to add another great player on that defensive line. And Shelby Harris is a guy that's already in your backyard right there, so might as well keep him. And then I expect them to make another move on the defensive line, whether it's the draft or whether it's free agency. But I would expect a good investment in Shelby, and that's why he's the number two priority.
So, okay, Justin Simmons, Shelby Harris, and I agree. You got to take care of those guys. I love watching both those guys play. We know Justin Simmons is definitely big time on the priority list. How about let's go to your top five, 3, 4, 5. What's next for Denver?
Oh, boy. Like you said, Von Miller, figuring out that, because it's not necessarily keeping Von around or not. It's knowing how much money you're going to have to work with, and they have a hard deadline coming up with him in less than 2 weeks, actually right around 2 weeks, Brady, deciding on what you do with him, whether you have $20 million extra dollars to spend in free agency. Like I said, if you're going to spend money on outside guys, it's going to be with Von Miller's contract right there, unless you're not going to get a deal worked out with Justin Simmons, which from this list is clearly not the priority there. So figuring out what to do there. And then what sneakily comes on this list is figuring out Kareem Jackson, because Kareem Jackson has a team option. He has absolutely lived up to his 3-year, $33 million deal he signed 2 years ago. But, Brady, are you going to pay two safeties over $25 million? Not only is that a lot for the safety position, if you do end up paying Justin Simmons $25 million or $15 million a year, but also, this is, if you go back and historically look, Vic Fangio has taken bad safeties and made them good. He's taken good safeties and made them great, and he's taken great safeties and made them elite. So this, the value really may not be there. If you decline Kareem Jackson's option, there's about $10 million in cap space that frees up as well. So that becomes a very tricky situation right there, because you love the player Kareem's been. This would have nothing to do with him, but can, especially when the cap's only going to be about $180 million, can you do that?
Yeah, that is going to be tough, because if you keep Kareem on, you arguably have the best safety duo in the NFL. But, you know, if you do pick up that option and then hope to sign for a long-term deal, what have you, I mean, that does put you in a tough spot as, you know, you start looking at other contracts and other big-time moves going forward. You're right. That'd be a lot shelling out for one position, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And then let's round out this top five. And, of course, quarterback has to be in there. And if they have their eyes set on a big-time quarterback, then, of course, that's the number one priority. But just where the Broncos are right now, thinking about, you know, a potential veteran hedge, if that's the route, if they're going to go after one in free agency, it's probably going to be a hedge. And so, of course, that's in your top five as well.
Interesting. Justin Simmons, Shelby Harris, Von Miller, Kareem Jackson, and, of course, the quarterback position outside of, you know, big-time guys like Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. Should be interesting, man. How about these other guys on the list? Not, and I agree, I wouldn't consider these guys your top five priorities, but priorities nonetheless. Philip Lindsay, Tim Patrick, another big name on that list. What do you see in the future for both of those guys?
Yeah, both very interesting because you're not going to let Tim Patrick just walk right now. You would get nothing for him, and he is way too valuable to just let him leave. But is he a guy that you have in your long-term plans? The Broncos have said absolutely not by the moves they've made. And so are you really going to pay a guy a lot of money to stick around for the long term when he's not in those plans? No, you're not. So what you're going to do is you're going to throw a second round tender on him. It's going to cost you $3.5 million this year, and he's going to be a fantastic, fantastic depth piece. He's also going to see the field because he's a very good player, but you're not going to sign him to a long term deal. Then after he leaves this year, he goes and gets a big deal somewhere because he can play. Or you look to trade him this year. For maybe if you can get a second, if you can get a day two pick for him, you do that in a heartbeat. But if not, then you let him walk, and maybe you get a third round compensatory pick next year. But you can't just let him walk right now. You got to pay him that second round tender, which is $3.5 million. And Philip Lindsay, holy cow, this is the unknown of Philip Lindsay is pretty incredible. For me, what I'm doing, this is easy. I'm throwing a second round tender on him, $3.5 million. And then you can figure out the long-term plan in a couple of months or after this year. But, you can't just let Philip Lindsay walk. And if you don't put a second-round tender on him, you're essentially letting him walk. If you put an original-round tender, anything like that, he will not be a Denver Bronco anymore. And that doesn't make sense. Philip Lindsay is worth $3.5 million on a one-year deal. So you do that, and that's what I expect the Broncos to do as well. But any long-term deals, I haven't heard that there's any talks going on.
Boy, it's such a weird deal. Now, I know Philip had some injuries, and he didn't live up to the hype from his first 2 years with Denver. But we go from last year before the season starts with Elway talking about, oh yeah, we're gonna get something done with Philip, and now we're talking this year maybe is it? Who knows? But it's amazing how one off season from last year changes things.
Yeah, really. And I mean, you have Philip coming out this off season and saying, his displeasure with some of the offensive calls and his role in the offense. There really hasn't been any positive signs on Philip Lindsay and the Broncos staying together for the long term. Really, for the past year, like you said, Brady, that was the only thing we heard of Philip Lindsay signing a long-term deal, was John Elway saying that they're going to look into it, and that was it. There was nothing further beyond that, and that's been over a year now.
Zach, one more for you. Have you heard anything, per your sources or anyone you're close to, about Houston and the Deshaun Watson situation? It does look like Deshaun Watson's doubling down after a meeting with the head coach last week, saying still wanting out, but Houston's standing pretty firm. How's this thing going to end?
Yeah, sit back and wait. Unfortunately, that's not what anyone wants to hear with this situation. But the Texans are digging in just as much as Deshaun Watson is digging in. And this situation should end right around the draft. Will it? I don't know, man. The Texans, the best thing that they can do for themselves and for Deshaun is to trade him before or during the draft. And a very interesting thing is if they trade him during the draft, like when the draft is going on, they can acquire 2024 first-round draft picks. So that would mean a team could then trade four first-round picks in order to get him. Right now, a team can only trade 2021, 2022, and 2023 draft picks. But once the first team is on the clock, then you can open up the 2024 draft picks in order to trade. And maybe that's what the Texans' end goal truly is just to wait until the draft, collect all the offers, and see if teams want to throw four first-round picks at them. And so it just puts teams in weird positions. And you're going to see a couple of teams back out during free agency when they end up signing some guys. I don't think that the Broncos are going to make any moves like that during free agency that totally take them out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. And from what I've heard is, from my sources, the Broncos will be involved if the Texans ever allow him to be traded. The Broncos will submit an offer.
Wow, that's going to be interesting, man. Like you said, it's must-see something. I don't know if it's must-see TV or just must-see, must-hear about it, must-read Zach Stevens stuff each and every week, DNVR Broncos. Man, love what you do. What are you working on for us so we can check out?
Oh, breaking down all the Broncos, unrestricted free agents, restricted free agents, seeing what they're going to do with their own guys. Because like I told you, Brady, that's where the money's going to be in this free agency period. is paying their own guys and also having to make some tough decisions on guys that have been around for a long time.
Yeah, no, it's heating up for sure, my friend. We'll catch up with you next Monday.
Right on, Brady. Thanks. Have a great week.
All right, you too. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Excellent stuff there as always. 12:53 the time. We'll take a short break. When we come back, get to my game of the week. We're talking about things heating up because we're getting, you know, in spring mode or whatever. My game of the week, man. This is another thing. This Mountain West Conference is heating up for sure. All right. We'll take a quick break here. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Get your notepad ready. We're going to explain this Mountain West Conference situation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to the show. Oh, my goodness. We blew through that first hour, Colfax. Wow. Zach Stevens bringing the noise there. A lot of priorities, but there's Zach's priority list. I'm going to tweet that out later. Justin Simmons, Shelby Harris, Von Miller, Kareem Jackson. And if you're not going for Deshaun Watson, which I just, again, a million times over, don't see it happening for Denver. Then a quarterback, like a bridge, not a bridge guy, but somebody that could come in and be a potential backup if things really go south for Drew Lock. So, yeah, that's going to be on the priority list, too. Philip Lindsay, Tim Patrick, all those guys. Hopefully they can work something out. I'd rather see them in Broncos uniforms than not. All right, second hour coming up. We'll get into the Mountain West. We'll get to my game of the week. We'll get to more on Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets playing against the Bulls tonight. We'll be right back.